Yeah.
Oh, wait, sorry, we're on. Okay. All right, call this meeting to order. Can we have roll call?
Brian Gothup. Bill Goggins. Laura Hine.
Here.
John Kapler.
Here.
Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Elsie Weber.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here. Okay, so for tonight, we've got a couple of administrative reports and council discussion, and that's what we've got for an agenda after we have our council member reports and then requests from the audience. So do we have any members of the council who have any reports or comments? Betsy?
Maybe this goes under new business. I don't know, but I got a email from the Central Houghton Neighborhood Association today regarding use of the Northwest College practice fields for the Lake Washington lacrosse team. And the anyway, the lacrosse team wanted to use the Northwest College fields. The president of the college said that the neighbors, there was an issue with the neighbors not allowing anyone but Northwest College to use the field. It's actually part of the zoning code that only Northwest College can use the field. So I just was bringing that up. I don't know if we need to write a letter to the college and let them understand what their obligations and what it actually says in there.
John, I'm curious. You've been in contact with the college on this. Are you aware of this situation at all?
I'm not aware of this particular situation. Since we didn't have a meeting last month, that month I did meet with Dr. Joe Castleberry of the college simply to alert him that the Houghton Community Council is interested in trying to communicate better between the neighborhood and the city with regarding to updating their master plan. Dr. Castleberry mentioned to me that he was aware of the rules in the zoning code regarding the use of the field. Did not necessarily agree with all the interpretations. However, with regards to the lacrosse team, I seem to recall that he did acknowledge to me that he understood that that was outside of the allowed use,
right,
per the zoning.
Right.
So I wonder if by chance staff knows if there has been a complaint filed by citizens regarding this, or simply a letter or an email sent to the council.
I have not seen anything, but that doesn't mean that it's not out there, because I'm not dealing with code enforcement these days, but I can certainly check on that and let you know what the current status is.
Is that something that you could check on and get back,
sure,
to us?
Mm-hmm.
And then who, if not, since we have been alerted to this, I know Dr. Castleberry or John, the CFO of the college, I apologize for forgetting his last name. He mentioned that he had reached out to Kurt Triplett regarding some of the updating to the master plan.
It's very possible.
And so possibly looping Kurt in on this, just so someone could get back to the college to make sure that it's on the radar screen and is under scrutiny.
Is there an email out there that you could forward to me or something?
I will forward it. I'm happy to do it. And I also have a copy of the 2009 document that states that the former practice fields will be used exclusively by Northwest University athletic practices and intramural activities. So it's not that the neighbors are against it. It's
the same issue that
use.
Came up last year.
Yeah.
Right.
Nothing new.
Wash, rinse, repeat.
Yeah, nothing new.
Yeah. Anything else, Betsy? Anybody else have any council member reports, comments? Let the record show that Bill has arrived. Bill Goggins is in the building. Anybody else? I'd like to just acknowledge and remind everybody that memo that Teresa Swan sent us out a couple weeks ago, making sure that we notify staff, and I'd like to be notified as well, at least a couple days in advance of a meeting if you're not going to make it. And then unless it's a last-minute emergency that you can't help. The other thing that she asked us to do is be aware that if we use our private email for any kind of city business, then it subjects us to a PDC kind of a public records disclosure request for our own private email. So we probably want to avoid, well, we already know that, and we should make sure that we do that. So,
Rick, could I add too? That also includes text messages as well. So not just emails,
oh,
but
okay.
Text messages.
Thanks for clarifying that.
In fact, we have a request in now for everybody's text messages.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, I'm curious, Paul. So then they can make the request. How do they know if they're requesting that there's been any kind of city business conducted using the text messages?
Well, if it goes out to everybody that has those messages has to put it in a folder and disclose it to our. We have a coordinator that puts.
So they would first have to have evidence that they're.
No. They just put it out there. If it's there, they're able to get it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They don't have to have evidence. They just can request any and all records that deal with city business, for example.
Okay. And so if you've got it on your text messages, then you are required by law to.
Exactly.
Oh, mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. Perfect. All right. Thank you. And then our next item is the work program review. And Paul, also in the memo from Teresa, she mentioned that we were looking to have a January 28th joint meeting with the Planning Commission. Is that on the books for sure?
Yes, wanted to confirm that you can make that meeting.
Yeah.
We only heard from one person, but wanted to check in that is workable for them that night, because that would be your meeting in January. We have a couple items on the agenda for both the joint meeting,
right,
and then for your own particular meeting on final action on the comp plan. So,
right.
So you would adjourn after the joint meeting and take up your business.
Separate meeting, yeah.
Right.
Does anybody have a conflict with that January 28th date? Okay, so let's schedule that.
Great.
Okay, perfect. Anything else on the work program?
Just that you mentioned a couple of things I was going to mention, but we're just starting to work on the 2016 to 2018 work program. So once we get kind of a cut of that next year, we'll bring that forward and let you know what's going on. So.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. With that, we now have an opportunity for members of the audience to address us on any topics of their choosing. Anybody care to speak to us? Please come up. Identify yourself. Give us your address.
Good evening. Santos Contreras. Excuse me. 6548 116 Place Northeast, Kirkland. Thank you for the time to talk to you, Mr. Chairman, Houghton Community Council. Good to see you again, Paul. I wanted to speak about the City Council's plan to recommend to Sound Transit that we put bus transportation, BRT basically, bus rapid transit, on the Cross Kirkland corridor. And I'm going to ask the Houghton Community Council if they would discuss this and weigh in on what they would recommend, because in the long run it seems to me it'd be of great interest, and certainly to us Houghton residents as well as to the rest of Kirkland, actually, that whether this happens or not. I personally believe that bus rapid transit is a requirement, a fact of life, and it belongs on the freeway. We've made 405 more friendly, as well as 520 will be if they ever get it open. And I'm just encouraging you to weigh in, to get up to speed. I understand you have not been briefed on it, but I think it's extremely important that you, excuse me, be briefed on this before the City Council moves the recommendation forward to Sound Transit, which my understanding is they will do in December. So I'm urging you to take a hard look at that. I acknowledge that Sound Transit has an easement in the long run, and so I believe that what should happen is, rather than us do a 5-mile segment out of 47 and be kind of the lone ranger on this thing, I almost call it a bus to nowhere, although there's some homework the staff has done that indicates that there would be usage. So I'm recommending that the Houghton Community Council take a hard look at this in time to let the City Council know what you think, plus, minus, whatever. Maybe you won't take a position, But certainly I think it's important for the Houghton Community Council to be briefed fully and then take a position on this and let the City Council know what it is. And like I said, I acknowledge the easement, but I say let's wait. Let's put buses on the freeways where they belong, and let's wait and then join with the other cities which are on the trail of 47 miles. And together, figure out what the best thing is for the people and for transit in the Puget Sound area, certainly on the east side. So thank you for listening. Those are my remarks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Would anyone else care to address us?
Hi, my name's Kurt Blake, 10412 Northeast 55th Street in Kirkland, Houghton. I'm not nearly as objective as our last speaker was. We've been to several events now over the past week where this was discussed, the city council meeting, so it was last Thursday or Friday, and then the thing at the Kirkland Performance Center, which was an open house where the city and Sound Transit both discussed it. In terms of your constituents, I'd have to say that, you know, everybody there that was from Houghton, which was a very large number of people, was vehemently against it. And so I would encourage you, sort of in representative function, to echo that sentiment towards the city council. I think it would cause serious damage to the area. It would bisect Houghton as it now stands, creating an area near the water and an area behind that. It would almost eliminate the ability to transit across that in terms of people walking down to the beach and the like. It would seriously harm property values of those along the corridor. I question whether the validity of any studies. I think the city council even admitted they had done no studies as to the effectiveness in terms of actual ridership that would occur, especially with regard to citizens of Kirkland, from one end to the other. I think it's really, as it currently sits, is basically a means for people to get through Kirkland rather than from city residents to use it within Kirkland. To that degree, it is no advantage really to Kirklandites other than to reduce some traffic. And even that I question, because as we heard at the council meeting or at the open house, there's only one bus that goes up and down 108th, which is the main area that it's supposed to supplant. And if there's only one bus there, I think you could easily put more buses there and certainly increase ridership without having to develop an area along the corridor and, again, potentially damage the area, certainly make it less safe, make it damage the property values and the like. So that's it.
Thank you, Kurt. Is there anyone else who would care to speak? Don't be bashful. Okay. Oh, come on up.
I'm going to be real brief. I'm Rob Maddox. I live at 6103 104th Avenue Northeast in Kirkland. And just to echo what's already been said, the only thing that hasn't been said is that the impact on environmentally protect, not necessarily protected, but environmentally challenged or environmentally susceptible areas. We haven't mentioned that. All along the crosstown corridors, there's signs up. They're saying that the feasibility issues that are what they've looked at so far, that the bus lanes will be on the east side, which is where most of these grounds are. And so quite a bit of these environmentally protected areas will be destroyed, literally, and not to mention the whole tranquility of our neighborhood. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. So with that, we will move into our discussion of the East Bellevue Community Council court decision. And I think we have Steve Kasner here to brief us. Did anybody, Steve sent out an email to our city email accounts, and it was late this afternoon, so I don't know
late.
If
it had seven attachments.
Yeah. Okay, so assume that you're starting from scratch with us, Steve. Just give us your, maybe give us a good overview, and then we can go with questions and answers.
Steve Kastner, I live at 1015 145th Place Southeast in Bellevue, not in Kirkland, but really close to John's office, where I visit quite frequently to keep up on what's happening. I'm proud to say that I got to work with each of you when we had the joint meeting of the East Bellevue Community Council and the Houghton Community Council. I'm disappointed I didn't get to meet Brian because he wasn't on the council then. So John and Rick have been quite effective in hammering on me to be very concise. So I will start with a comment. Because of the lawsuit that we are involved in, your authority as a council is being threatened. And so we are in litigation on a power line that is purported to go down 148th, which connects two power stations, one which is on the very edge of our jurisdiction and one that is 3 miles away from our jurisdiction. So and this has been going on 7 or 8 years. It started in pre-planning by Puget Sound Energy. It went to a conditional use permit that was filed in 2011. It became quasi-judicial. It went to the hearing examiner. It went to the city council, and it came to us. During the 3 courtesy hearings that we had, we expressed serious concerns about how this project was put together. On June 24th, 2015, after 5 hours of deliberation at our second meeting, 2 hours at the meeting before, and on the approximately 5,000-page closed record, we voted 5-0 to not approve both the shoreline conditional use permit and the conditional use permit from the city, which came in one ordinance. As you all know, we only have the authority to approve and disapprove council ordinances. So not surprisingly, on July 14th, 2015, Puget Sound Energy sued us and the city of Bellevue for the permit they wanted for their power line. In Superior Court, Judge Downing entertained various motions from the attorney. There are 3 parties to this lawsuit: the East Bellevue Community Council, Puget Sound Energy, who wants the permit, and the city of Bellevue, separate from the community council. So in October, PSC basically went in and said, the community council has no authority to make these decisions, and we want our permit, and the city said it was fine and we should have our permit. So the judge, who has extensive experience in land use, said, wait a minute, first of all, there's 2 permits. And I, in my ultimate wisdom, are saying, I believe the East Bellevue Community Council has no jurisdiction over the shoreline conditional use permit because they're not specifically called out in the shoreline conditional use permit statute, which was created in 1971. Well, as you know, we were created in 1969, and I believe as both legislations were moving forward, no one considered that municipal corporations even mattered. And over the course of 40 years, both community councils have been given shoreline conditional use permits to weigh in on. So we realized that this was a reduction of our rights, and you have much more waterfront in your jurisdiction than we do. We have Larson Lake, and we have some, but Kirkland is basically water with a little land sprinkled in. And so I'm here before you tonight is this is a ruling that, if left unchallenged, would not only directly impact the East Bellevue Community Council, I believe it would set a precedent, and you may no longer get shoreline conditional use permits, which you have gotten in the past. So procedurally, remember I said there was 3 parties? Well, there's more attorneys than there are parties. So we have a city attorney, we have a litigation attorney who is working solely on the land use appeal, that will go before Judge Downing in King County Superior Court on December 14th, 2015. So we've appealed both the fact that Judge Downing said we have no shoreline jurisdiction, and we were ordered to change our resolution that said we were turning down the conditional use permit and we were turning down the shoreline permit because they were in the same ordinance. So the judge ordered us and threatened us with contempt and jail if we did not amend our resolution to delete reference to the shoreline conditional use permit. Some of us were willing to go to jail, some of us weren't. We changed our motion to delete reference to it, but we appealed the issue. We don't believe we have the authority to, in essence, have line item veto. So I'm here this evening to answer any questions about this project and to ask if over the next couple of months you want to file an amicus curiae brief with the appellate court saying, wait a minute, we've had shoreline conditional use permits before. We'd like to continue to have them, and we believe the trial court was in error. Now, the timing of such, we have not yet hired our appellate attorney to work on the appeal, and I planned to come last month, but because you have such busy lives, you did not have a meeting in October. I believe that having discussion this month, making a decision in December, will probably be timely enough that if you wish to participate, there's enough time for you to participate. In December, I can bring more information from our appellate attorney of what that participation would look like. So that's as succinct as I can get, and I hope it puts everything before you that you need, but I'm so frustrated by this process that I will answer any and all questions. Because one other thing, I guess, is that this project has been kicking around for 10 years. And so for the first 4 years, it wasn't quasi-judicial, or 5 years. And so we were aware of it, but we were kind of watching the process. But we were warned because it was going to become quasi-judicial. We as East Bellevue Community Council members could not be present when these topics were discussed. And so there were community meetings, there were neighborhood association meetings, and I would go to the neighborhood association meeting, see the two agenda items I could hear, and then leave because I couldn't be present for the agenda item as related to this future project. And so we were quite firm in our courtesy hearings with our concerns for the project. And at our last courtesy hearing, the planner walked in and said, we're talking about mitigation for this project. And at the time, I sat in the chair that Rick did, and it was my gavel. And I said, we have not approved this project. The city council has not approved this project. We are not limiting our discussion at the courtesy hearing to mitigation. And so after this went through the entire process, remember, we could not be present at the hearing examiner's report because it was quasi-judicial or hearing. We let the record stand that we had created. In after we made our decision, the Puget Sound Energy dropped a flyer in the neighborhood saying we did not care about electrical reliability. And people were irate and came to our meeting, and we marched them through the 17 criteria that we found, findings that supported our decision to say no permit. And they're like, well, why did Puget Sound Energy do this? It's like, I can't explain that to you. We care about our community. 4 of the 5 of us have been on the community council for almost 10 years. And so it's been a public relations nightmare, and we've been beaten to a bloody pulp, but to a man, we believe that we are representing our constituents in the neighborhood. So that one of the reasons I'm here is for you to lose the right to evaluate shoreline conditional use permits in a case that you weren't part of just feels wrong to me. So I got less concise, but I got angry too.
That was very well done, Steve, really. Particularly knowing your penchant for going into great detail on matters. You did a great job.
Well, I have to give John and Bill Capron credit. It was much longer they shrunk it back down.
So I'm before we get into too many questions, let's. I asked Paul if he would maybe check in with our city attorney and get a little background from staff side on this. Do you want to take a moment now and give us a little update on what you found out, Paul?
Well, I think this is a question you need to discuss about what your position is, and I think you've had a conversation with our city attorney, Robin Jenkinson, as well.
And I am prepared to share that, but okay. I wanted to see, mm-hmm. What you had to
yeah,
report.
Yeah, the sense is that in Kirkland, we don't have a conditional use permit under a zoning code. It's different than what Bellevue has, I understand. So that's one issue we'd have to figure out. And a shoreline development permit or a conditional use permit in the shoreline, we've always interpreted to be something that goes to the does not go to the Hilton Community Council, just like any other ministerial type of permit, a building permit, a process one, short plat, those type of things. And the other fact that we've talked about is that a shoreline conditional use permit goes to the Department of Ecology for approval. So they make the ultimate decision. City Council doesn't. They don't get involved. Staff does not get involved with the final decision. Hilton does not get involved. So. It's kind of a distinction that I think needs to be understood as well. So the municipal code sets out those types of issues that are subject to Houghton's Community Council jurisdiction. Those include subdivisions, plan unit developments, comprehensive plans, zoning code, and I think he mentioned earlier, it does not mention a shoreline conditional use permit. So that's, I think, the distinction that's being made and the argument that's being discussed in front of the courts.
So if I hear you correctly, you're saying that we don't have, nor does the city council have, any authority over the shoreline use permits.
That's correct.
A Department of Ecology
right.
mm-hmm. approval process.
Yeah, ultimately, yes, they have to approve it. Right.
But is their approval subject to first being processed and approved by the city council?
No.
It is not?
It is not.
All right.
The only time that could come into play is when there is a process 2B and it's an STP is involved with that, a shoreline development permit, and that bumps it up to that discussion. But that's, I can't think of many cases where that's happened that may be possible the council gets involved with that. But,
and if it's a 2B, then we would be
yes.
part of that approval process anyway,
right,
correct?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. What your role in is with that SDP, I'm not totally sure. That may be a question we'd have to, depends on a case by case, but the 2B obviously is what we set forth in the zoning code, your jurisdiction for review.
All right. Interesting.
And my concern, Paul, would be the terminology defined by the court's conditional use permit. Is it specifically those exact terms as defined by the zoning code versus a larger umbrella about shorelines, which obviously we would be concerned about?
Well, there really are two conditional use permits, two conditional use permit scenarios. One is a zoning conditional use permit, which I think Bellevue has. We don't have that. The other one is a shoreline conditional use permit. That's the one that goes to the Department of Ecology. So, and the way the statute is set up, the RCWs, the way our municipal code is set up, it only mentions a conditional use permit. Does not mention a shoreline conditional use permit, and that's part of the argument I think that they're having. So we don't mention anything about a conditional use permit in the zoning code. I think the city used to have maybe a conditional use permit many, many years ago, but alleviated that and set up a different process for the depending on the type of permit. So there's a distinction there. I just want to make clear that there's maybe a land use conditional use permit that the City of Bellevue administers, we don't. Then there's a shoreline conditional use permit that goes to the Department of Ecology.
Okay.
To be clear, that
why don't you come up to the.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I can be louder. Okay, so to be clear, remember 3514, which is our enabling legislation, was written in 1969. And it says the Community Council will have final authority on all conditional use permits. A shoreline conditional use permit did not appear until 1971. So in 69, it could not have said shoreline conditional use permits because they did not exist yet. One of the piece, and like I said, you have seven files. The big one, the 70-page one, is PSC's original pleadings in the case, but the couple smaller ones are his specific findings. And what he said in Bellevue is the city council made a determination which then is vetted by Department of Ecology. But if you read the shoreline conditional use permit, it says the local jurisdiction has the most knowledge. In most cities, that is the city council. Where there's a municipal corporation, it is us. We are as local as you get. And one of the reasons we had asked, if we win on the land use appeal on the 14th, would it moot the other case? And my argument is we still want to know. There's a great deal of confusion in the city of Bellevue whether we do in fact have jurisdiction over shoreline conditional use permits. And we have actually ruled on at least two, if not three, in the 40 years that we've existed. So somewhere along the line in Bellevue, it was decided this is going on in the East Bellevue Community Council area, and we are sending it forward to the Community Council for feedback. In reality, in our legislation, in our resolution to disallow the permits, we took no action against the shoreline conditional use permit because we didn't know how. But it still remains, should we have the authority to do so? So that, and again, I mean, each city makes different interpretations. And if you look at the cities over time, different city attorneys make different decisions. And again, I mean, construing the facts in a manner that benefits your viewpoint is the right of a city manager or city attorney, but we as a community council who is trying to protect our community would like to construe the facts to make sure our community is protected. And we are writing a letter to the Department of Ecology to say, we don't care that you have these other approvals. We have serious concerns about the route of this power line that goes right through the Larsen Lake wetland. And it shouldn't be there. It doesn't need to be there. And the mitigation is way insufficient to remedy the harm that this project will cause. So I hope that was clarifying and not more muddying. But no.
Stay there just 1 second, Steve. So are you saying that you have been advised by your attorneys that, in fact, you should have the ability to override the Department of Ecology's authority on this?
No. That us saying no before Ecology gets it is a determining factor in what they do, and the city or the local jurisdiction has the ability to say, no, you cannot have your permit, and at which case Department of Ecology has a hearing. But the interesting thing about Department of Ecology, and one of the reasons that we were very excited to have that discussion, is the review is de novo. That facts in 2015 or 16 can be brought forward. In our land use appeal, no facts can be brought forward that are not contained in the 700-page record or 3,000-page record that hearing examiner used to make his decision in December of 2013. So even if we started at square one, having a full discussion about the environmental impacts of the shoreline permit would work fine for us, because in the intervening years, I think PSC's position has gotten much worse. So we're not trying. The standard of proof changes. If we have the authority to say, no, you can't have this permit, then the proponent would then have the burden of proof to show how we were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it still may be defeated at the Department of Ecology review stage, but when the city says this is fine and the community council says it isn't fine, that might matter to the Department of Ecology.
Got it. So. Okay. All right. With that, questions? Let's start from Bill. Do you have any questions or comments on this? No? Laura?
I'm just thinking if we are going to have somebody meeting with us in December and have more information then, and since most of us have not had a chance to read the information that we got, I really don't have much to base this on without that. I would rather wait until we have that information and the attorney can give us advice in December and just have a little more information.
Wait, maybe there's a misconception here. There, we don't have... Who do you think is meeting with us in December? The only information we'll have in December that we don't already have is what's their attorney's appeal.
Recommendations to us as to what action they would recommend that we take. That's what I recall.
Well, no. At your December meeting,
right.
We may have a decision in our underlying LUPA case.
Right.
We will have an attorney, but my question this evening is, do you want to compile the facts to file a brief with the appellate court that probably will not be due until January, but it will take 4 or 5 weeks for the work to be done. And so deciding the scope of the project, how much it would cost, finding an attorney, all of those things would need to be researched between now and December to make a decision that, yes, we want to officially appear in December or in January,
yeah.
Or good luck, please try and preserve our rights. But we wanted to get you the maximum facts that we had today.
One other question, just to clarify what Paul just informed us about, that the city of Kirkland does not have jurisdiction, and it goes to the Department of Ecology. In Bellevue's case, does the city of Bellevue have the jurisdiction to weigh in on the shoreline conditional use permit? Does that function differently in Bellevue from in Kirkland?
I mean, the way the shoreline conditional use permit is written, it says the local jurisdiction will issue the permit subject to Department of Ecology review, which I believe it's the same for all cities. If Kirkland has a different process where they take no action until DOE says this is... I mean, it's not what the statute says, but I don't know what Kirkland actually does.
Clarification, Paul, maybe?
Right. I'm not sure about Bellevue's approach, but, you know, it's still issued by the city. It's just not the city council that does it. It's a lower-level process.
It's administrative process.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So it happens in the city. It just doesn't rise.
Right. It doesn't rise to the level of either the council or the Houghton Community Council.
Correct.
Weighs in on that. So I would rather just pass at this point.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, Betsy?
It just feels to me like it's a bigger...
Sure, and speak into the mic.
Oh, sorry. It sounds to me like it's a pretty complicated and bigger issue because it sounds like what your jurisdiction is being challenged somewhat passively aggressively and sometimes quite aggressively, it sounds like. But... I can't understand all the ins and outs with the Department of Ecology, and I mean, I suppose they could come back and deny this permit, right? And then, would you still be being sued?
On the land use permit, we'd still be being sued because we were the authority that denied the permit that Puget Sound Energy wants. If the Department of Ecology said we're not willing to issue this permit, then it would go to the Shorelines Hearings Board, which is where it was already headed before the judge said, wait, I don't think the community council has a... So there is a court mechanism, the Shorelines Hearing Board, for permits that are not issued by DOE. And part of the reason we even realize this is they have super short timelines. They're like 60 days. So the Shoreline Hearings Board said, please show up in our court and explain to us why this appeal was not issued, which was stopped by the judge that said, wait, I don't think you should be involved. So, and again, that for us, the two standard, I mean, we think Puget Sound Energy did not make their case to earn their permit on the record we have created. In the 3 years since that record is recreated, the evidence is staggering that there was misinformation, there was inaccurate testimony about the reliability of the project, the trade-off, the environmental damage, and so having that hearing happen before the Shoreline Review Board is something that would be very exciting for us, because you would have all this evidence that isn't in the record that we can't use. So, and again, I mean, we have made rulings on at least two, if not three, shoreline hearings board or shoreline conditional use permits. If the Houghton Community Council has never done one, it's administrative, and they don't do one, then an adverse ruling wouldn't affect any of your rights. But at least some of you thought that this was part of what you got to decide. So we're creating clarity in what is actually happening.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Any other questions, Betsy?
Well, it sounds like your argument is partially based on precedents, because you have ruled in these sorts of things before. I guess I'm not exactly sure, because Kirkland doesn't get involved in these, from what I'm understanding. I'm not sure us writing an amicus brief is really going to further any judge's decision. I mean, it'd be a nice thing for us to do, but I'm not sure.
Well, and I learned tonight that you're not losing any rights that you had before.
Yeah.
But I'm not totally sure about the accuracy of that statement, just because of how the statute's written. But that's why we have this exchange of information, so we understand what's going on.
Okay. Elsie? Sure, and speak in the mic.
Paul, I want to ask you a question. Doesn't our Shoreline Master Plan pretty much take care of all of that type of stuff?
Well, it sets up the framework for all of that.
Yeah, we have guidelines, and we don't just have...
Correct.
What Steve is...
And we have processes.
That's a problem.
Right.
Every jurisdiction has some sort of Shoreline Master Program, though.
Yeah. That
outlines... What needs to happen to get
a shoreline thing that I can remember.
Okay. John?
Anyway, bye.
Thank you, Elsie.
Thank you, Steve, for the presentation. I do think that it does cross-pollinate over to what we're doing, and I think getting updated on your council is nice. Thank you. Paul, I would like to ask... I'm still concerned in how the courts reach out over specific terminology then morphing into more general terminology. And if you possibly could, for our next meeting, lay out all of the permit processes that might come before us in the zoning code. So we're extremely clear on that, and if it'd be possible to have a conversation with our city attorney regarding the specific nature of the terminology that Mr. Kasner is referring to in their lawsuit with regards to shoreline conditional use permit, and whether or not those specific terms would relate to us, or if they could be more general, and if she would weigh in an opinion on that.
I'll have to speak to the city attorney about that and see if she's able to put something together.
And I did speak with Robin last week about this in anticipation of discussing it for the meeting, and she had the benefit of reviewing the Bellevue case, because she knew that we were going to be discussing it, so she wanted to be prepared for it. And she was of the opinion that the judge had ruled accurately. She didn't take issue with it. She said, she didn't give me any kind of encouragement that I asked if she'd be willing to kind of do a Me Too amicus brief just to kind of help support East Bellevue Community College or Community Council. And she said, well, that would be a policy decision. And she said, I don't have the authority to say it, and I'm I'm not even sure that the city manager would. It probably would be something that the city council would need to weigh in on, but she wasn't very supportive. And I really don't see much chance of getting any kind of funding or having her put in time on something that we have no actual authority over. So I think, you know, now with that, and I also had, thank God I asked Paul to come tonight and to help clarify this. So I appreciate it very much, Paul, because I think it really does put it in perspective.
Well, the other thing that's kind of unique about this, they have a ripe issue with PSC.
Yeah.
We don't.
Yes.
It's not, you know, affecting anything we're doing. So that's another factor to consider. So.
Okay. So if I hear the sense of the council, I'm hearing that we're probably not of a mind to try to be seeking funding for a amicus brief to weigh in on this. Is that a fair statement? Anybody disagree with that? Steve, I know that's probably disappointing to you, but I appreciate it very much.
Not necessarily. Yeah. I mean, my primary purpose for coming this evening was to make sure you weren't losing any rights
yes.
that you were not aware of.
Yeah.
We had another interesting wrinkle in that we were authorized a substantial sum of money to defend PSE suing us.
Yeah.
When we went back and asked for money for the appeal, the city attorney said, I do not believe this is a necessary expense, and if you want this, you have to go to council. And so a whole bunch of people showed up at council before council even knew it was coming, saying, please support our community council in defending our neighborhood. When it actually went before council last Monday on the 16th, or two Mondays ago, the council ruled 7-0 in our favor, saying, please give them $15,000 to figure out once and for all whether they have shoreline conditional use authority or they don't. So some folks, myself was not included, the initial large meeting in front of council happened before the election, and the idea was that council members would be more attuned to doing something because their election was at stake. And
okay.
I tried to point out to them that there was nothing before the council for them to act on, and that they did act on when it came there. But one of our council races almost flipped because one person spent almost his entire campaign talking about how the power line and how the incumbent was out of touch. So,
okay. Steve, thank you. But in the interest of time, I'm going to give you the hook. So we now have
– Good luck.
And good luck, really. We do wish you well. We're all supportive of your council.
If you beat the ARC, anything's possible.
Okay, and now rapid transit on the Cross Kirkland Corridor is our other item on our agenda for council discussion. I would like, I know that I saw Betsy and Laura at the community meeting Thursday. Who, anybody else get to come out to that? So the three of us were there. And so, yeah, I guess I would be curious how up to speed the rest of you guys are you know, where we should take this discussion. Bill, are you, what's your knowledge of the situation?
Just from what I've been reading in the paper.
Okay, very well. And Elsie, yours is from talking to neighbors?
Yeah.
Okay, John, how about you?
I'm at a slow roll on the current information.
Okay.
Last month or so.
All right. So my understanding, to try to get to the point on this, having sat through the whole presentation on Thursday and all the questions and answers, is that ultimately it probably doesn't matter what we say or what the council says, that Sound Transit's going to decide what they want. If they get Sound Transit 3 approved, then they can do whatever they want. We can give them our preferences, but it's ultimately, and I should also tell you that I spoke at length after the meeting with somebody who has been very involved with the Bellevue leg of Sound Transit Project. And what they voted on to get the approval is quite different from what it ended up being. And I'm not saying it was necessarily good or bad, but it changed significantly. And he said that although Sound Transit will listen to recommendations from the local authority, they have final authority, which includes, he cautioned me, one of our speakers tonight made an excellent point, and that is that we've got real issues with critical areas on the east side of the Cross Kirkland Corridor. And the guy that I was speaking with after the meeting said, Sound Transit typically is not going to go out of their way to incur significant increase, additional costs, just because it's what the community wants. They'll take it into consideration, but if it's going to make a major impact on their cost, their objective is to get the route in at the best cost that they can. And so then it becomes kind of a negotiation with a local government, and maybe they require the local government to pay for the cost, the additional cost, to try to get it located where they want. The whole thing was rather discouraging, and I came away from it personally thinking the only real solution to this, if we want to preserve, or if we want to make sure that we don't have Sound Transit on the Cross Kirkland Corridor, is to defeat Sound Transit 3. I mean, that's really the only sure thing that we have. Having said that, you know, Sance made a really good, he pointed out that he thinks it would be helpful to at least put Sound Transit on notice that we aren't, if in fact we aren't in favor of having bus rapid transit on the Cross Kirkland Corridor, that it would be helpful for us to make a statement to that effect. So I don't know whether tonight it's appropriate for us to do it, because if only three of us have really gotten the full background, then we should have staff. I had requested to have staff present tonight, and the people who were who would have that responsibility, who are prepared for it, they had other commitments tonight. They couldn't do it. And this was something that I requested probably 3 weeks ago. They were already committed. So we couldn't do it tonight. Sant's concern is that the council will be making their recommendation to Sound Transit before our next meeting.
When is that?
Pardon me?
When is the
What is it? Is it December 18th, Paul?
Well, that's what we want to talk about, that, because we can have the Public Works people here to present to you in December at a meeting. We've picked a couple of dates. I think we might have sent it out by email. I don't know if y'all looked at that, but December 14th or 15th or 17th.
Yeah. So we could get it in just before the city council meeting if we changed our December meeting date.
Well, there's nothing on the council agenda to make any recommendation at the December 8th meeting that I'm aware of. So,
oh, really?
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, there's discussions going on, obviously, but there's no action on the city on December 8th city council meeting. So
there is no plan for a recommendation from city council in December at all?
Well, I don't know about that. I just know that December 8th is not there's no other meeting scheduled for the city council besides December 8th. So,
and that's the only one.
Right.
Hmm.
So we were checking to see if your schedule works for one of those nights of the 14th, 15th, or 17th.
Everybody bring their calendar.
If you want to have a presentation on that by public.
Yeah,
Works.
I think that's the appropriate action. I think everybody should be, before we make a recommendation, we should take the time to be fully informed on it.
If I could.
Yeah, please, John.
I think there's a couple of step-by-step processes before we even get to a discussion of what we should suggest. I think it would be nice to opine if the council wants to weigh in as a council, because that's something we don't do terribly often. So I think that certainly could be discussed tonight. And then in terms of even without a full discussion by a presentation to us, I do think that there are certain key points that could be talked about tonight.
Well, John,
and then move forward to a full presentation and then narrow that down. But I think the first step is really, does this council want to formally make a statement?
I'm going to say that if you had been at the meeting Thursday, you wouldn't ask that question.
Oh,
because so, it was.
I don't need to ask that question.
Okay.
I knew a month ago where I stand.
Okay. Well, and I'm saying that there's no question that there's. I mean, the turnout from Houghton was amazing.
Yeah.
So, I don't think there's any question that we should be discussing and taking a position. I think it's inappropriate to take position without getting the presentation. Everybody should be on the same page before we're making that recommendation. If that recommendation was not going to have any effect, if we didn't do it in time, then I was going to say let's have an earlier meeting. But it sounds like that's what we're talking about anyway. We're not going to lose the opportunity to have impact on the process if we have our meeting on the 14th, 15th, whatever.
Is there, besides a possible impact with the city council, is there any other impact that we might be missing by waiting?
No, Sound Transit's process is they won't be making a decision until sometime February, March, I think, as I remember. And so it's ultimately Sound Transit is who we're looking to influence.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think the only way they're influenced is by numbers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think ultimately it's what do they think is going to get their Sound Transit 3 passed. That's really what it's all about. Yes. Elsie, be sure and speak into the mic.
Could you ask Paul that if City Council does decide to put it on their meeting in December, that he will notify Rick so you can call us and we'll have a special meeting?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent.
Yeah, if something changes, that we can certainly let you know.
Yeah, that would be great. Yep. Thank you. That's a brilliant idea. And I appreciate it. And I would expect Paul would do that anyway. Okay. So let's pick a date that we can meet in December so we can get this presentation and have this discussion and make our recommendation. And the options are, Paul?
December 14th, 15th, or 17th.
Is that a Monday? Or
Monday is the 14th. Tuesday's the 15th. Thursday's the 17th.
I cannot do the 15th. The other two are possible.
Let's do it on the 14th. That's a regular Monday night.
Well, the 14th is a Monday. Mm-hmm. Does that work for everybody? Or does that, Paul, Bill, were you saying that?
I could do that.
You can do it?
Yeah.
14th, 14th, 14th? John?
Yeah. Laura, can you?
Yes.
Yeah, I had that on my calendar as a question mark anyway. We had already talked about the possibility of having
Good.
It. Let's make it. Okay, so we'll have it on December 14th. You will let us know if there's any action being taken by the city council prior to that, and then if so, we'll reschedule our meeting.
Right.
Okay?
And just to check your calendars, just in case that comes up, prior to December 8th, or what?
As an alternative?
Yeah,
okay.
As an alternative. Is there any?
All right. That's really getting short.
Well, the council, yeah, that'd be next week.
Right. I can't imagine them if they haven't decided by now. I can't imagine them making it. But
yeah,
I guess
I talked to the city manager today. There's nothing scheduled on the December 8th meeting for the city council
to discuss the Cross Kirkland corridor
right.
and the bus rapid train. Okay.
Right.
All right.
You could vote against it now.
Yeah. I appreciate that, but in fairness to the process, and believe me, I think that there's a sentiment for that, but in fairness to the process, it's incumbent upon us before we make recommendations to be fully informed. And three of us, I think, having attended the meetings are, but that's only half. And I really think we all need to be fully up to speed on this before we do take that action. So I think that's the way we'll go. We're all set for a meeting on the 14th. And in the meantime, I've got lots of information that I can share with you guys. And but I think we'll probably just get the full presentation from the staff on the 14th. So with that, is there anything else? That's all I've got on my schedule.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you all for coming out. We appreciate
you so
your support
much.
Very
back
much.
On the 14th.
And we are, it's great to see you out here, and we are you know, we really do take seriously trying to represent you guys in any matters. Yeah. Okay.
Please.
Fair enough. Meeting
sorry
adjourned.
Sorry to make you do that.
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you.